Now let's continue on. There's some more things we need to read from this paper to show you kind of the flavor of it. Okay. Let's read here. I'm reading on page 3. It says, I've loaded the dice. He has marked the cards. He has predefined the words to suit his case. Now, if I've done that, I better change, huh? Yes, indeed, I should. So naturally, the outcome would validate his claim. If Bar-Erev truly meant sunset, and I will prove to you it does. He says it doesn't without any proof. It merely means evening, and the Jews clearly say that that begins at noon. Really? Have you ever at noon said, good evening, my friend, it's 3 minutes after noon, when the sun begins to go down and last till nightfall? See, that is a traditional interpretation, not true. The hours before sunset being the first evening, and the hours after sunset being the second evening. Therefore, this passage in Exodus 16, and we'll go there in just a little bit, which is the whole key to Coulter's case, falls on its flimsy face. He has proved nothing, says the New Westminster Dictionary of the Bible. Well, what about the Word of God? All right, we will see. He says, let me just read this here, just one other part. The real picture we see in Exodus 16, and he doesn't go through it very much, is that the quail flew into the camp late on the Sabbath day, just before sunset, late afternoon, and settled in to roost for the night. Have you ever seen chickens go to roost in the afternoon? After the sunset, the people went forth to gather them for food. Really? Now, we will take a look at it here, and we will see. Now, first of all, we are going to come to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 and verse 4. These are the appointed times of YHWH. He capitalizes that. So I will refer to that as Lord. Proclamations of holiness, which you are to proclaim at their appointed time, set time, on the first new moon, on the 14th day after the new moon, between the setting times, is Passover to the Lord. Now, how does he define between the setting times? From noon till sunset, and then from sunset until dark? Notice, between the setting times, between the time that the sun is below the horizon, no longer visible, and total darkness. In idiomatic rendition, it would be at twilight. The sun has set. All right. Now let's come over here to Leviticus 23 and verse 32. Now, this has to do with the Day of Atonement, and this has to do, and it's very important for us to understand it, okay? How does Everett Fox translate Ba-Erev? Not just the word Erev, but Ba-Erev. Ba means the set particular time. Let's read it here concerning the Day of Atonement. It is a Sabbath. A Sabbath ceasing for you. You are to afflict yourselves on the ninth day of the month after the new moon at sunset. Now he calls the month the new moon. At sunset. Ba-Erev. Notice carefully. From sunset to sunset, you are to make a ceasing of your ceasing. All right? Did I print this? Did I invent this? No, I don't know the man. I have never met the man. I'm reading what he produced and published. He is the leading scriptural Hebrew expert in translating into English. And he defines all the way through all the five books of Moses, Ba'erev, as sunset. And Bokur, morning or dawn, as the break of day. Now, let's come to Exodus, the 16th chapter. Let's understand something here very important. Now, Exodus 16 gives us the scriptural definition of when Ba'erev is and when Bein Harbi'im is. And it will show us and tell us very, very clearly that between the two evenings or between the setting times comes after Ba'erev from the scriptures themselves. Now, this is a very interesting chapter here. Let's come to Exodus 16. Now, they came to the wilderness of Sin on the 15th day after the new moon, after their going out of the land of Egypt. Now, the 15th day, if you count back from that, because this was a Sabbath. 15th day of the second month was a Sabbath. How do we know it was a Sabbath? By the context of what he was teaching here. And by the events that happened. And this is when God brought the teaching of the Sabbath, when it would begin, when it would end, also the manna, and the quail. So this becomes very important, and we need to ask the question, how did God use these terms? Because this is written by Moses, and Moses was right there. And they were complaining to Moses. Really, they were complaining to God. So they came to the wilderness of Sin, they set up the camp, and on the Sabbath day, here's what happened. Verse 2, and they grumbled, the entire community of the children of Israel, against Moshe and Aaron. So I'll just say Moses and Aaron, in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we had bread till we were satisfied. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to bring death upon the whole assembly by starvation. That's not true. What was the promise that God gave them? To take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. Was it difficult to get there? But of course it was difficult to get there. But who was leading them? God was. Verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, here I will make rain down upon you bread from heaven. Now the English is a little awkward at times because it's a literal translation from the Hebrew that Everett Fox is doing. The people shall go out and glean. That means go out like gleaning of a field of a harvest. Each day's amount in its day, in order that I may test them whether they will walk according to my instructions or commandments or not. It was a test of obedience. And what was that obedience? The keeping of the Sabbath. We'll see. This is why. This proves in context that Ba'erev is sunset and Bein Harbi'im is after sunset. Never starts at noon. That is a traditional invention by men who want to disobey the word of God. Now let's see this here. Verse 5. But it shall be on the sixth day. Manna started on the first day. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they have brought in, it shall be a double portion compared to what they glean day after day. And Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at sunset, Ba'erev, there it is, right there. You will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. In other words, don't come and complain to me and Aaron about what's happening with you, because we didn't bring you out, God brought you out. Now continuing, verse 7, at daybreak, morning, sunrise, you will see the glory of the Lord when he hearkens to your grumblings against the Lord. What are we that you grumble against us? Moses said, verse 8, since the Lord gives you flesh to eat at sunset. Now think about that. What ends the Sabbath day, sunset. Now, we'll just jump ahead a little bit here. What was God teaching them and instructing them to do? To stay in their tents or near their tents on the Sabbath and rest. All right? What did he tell them? We'll see a little later. He said, don't go out on the seventh day on the Sabbath to look for the manna because it won't be there. But some went out anyway to look for it. And what did God say? God said, why do you refuse to keep my commandments and my law? So this is a Sabbath test. The use of Ba'erev and the use of Bein Ha'arba'im here in this chapter is absolutely the crux identification on their use by God himself, having nothing to do with the traditions of men. Now, whoever wrote this paper, edited by John Keyser, do you want to follow God or do you want to follow men? Do you want to believe the traditions of men or do you want to believe the word of God? Do you want to believe honest scholars or do you want to believe your ranting and ravings there, which are worthless? All right, I'll read that verse again. Verse 8, Moses said, since the Lord gives you flesh to eat at sunset, ba'erev, and at daybreak, bokur, bread to satisfy yourselves, since the Lord hearkens to your grumblings which you grumble against him. What are we? Not against us are you grumbling, but against the Lord. Moses said to Aaron, say to the entire community of the children of Israel, come near in the presence of the Lord, for he has hearkened unto your grumbling. Now it was, when Moses spoke to the entire community of the children of Israel, they faced the wilderness and here. All right? They were facing the wilderness, and what happened? The glory of the Lord could be seen in the cloud. It was daytime. They were speaking on the Sabbath day. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have hearkened to the grumblings of the children of Israel. Speak to them and say, between the setting times, Bein Ha'arba'im, between the two evenings, you shall eat flesh. Okay? You come back here to verse 8. It says, the Lord gives you flesh to eat at sunset. Question, can you eat the flesh before it comes? Well, that's a stupid question. Well, that's what would have to happen if between the two evenings began, beginning right at noon. Because it says right here, between the setting times, you shall eat flesh. How can you eat the flesh of quail before the quail arrive? Can't do it, can you? No. All right. Now continuing. And at daybreak, you shall be satisfied with bread. Daybreak is what? At sunrise. So what you have is sunset between the two evenings, sunrise. Okay? That's day one. Let's go on. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Now it was at sunset. Sun came down. A horde of quail came up and covered the camp. It didn't come in the afternoon and sort of, oh, we're roosting out here on top of your tents. No, they came up and covered the camp. Why? To make it easy for the Israelites to catch them. Why? Because he didn't want them wandering out of camp at night. Do you understand why God did it? God is logical. He sends the quail at sunset. Now, what does sunset do to a day? We read that, Leviticus 23, right? It ends the day. What day did this preaching take place, the warning from God, and the promise to send flesh and bread, what day did that happen on? A weekly Sabbath, all right? God was teaching them to rest and not work. Correct? Yes, indeed. No. What an example that would be if God sent the quail before the Sabbath had ended, meaning that God did the work on the Sabbath day when he was trying to teach the children of Israel not to work and don't go out and try and collect anything. Right? Think of that. All right. Speak to them and say, between the setting times or between the two evenings, Bainar by Im, you shall eat flesh. Because he was speaking in the afternoon saying, you shall eat it, and it hadn't yet arrived because he didn't send it until sunset. Okay? All right? And at daybreak you shall be satisfied with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Now it was at sunset, a horde of quail came up and covered the camp. Voila! God did not work on the Sabbath, did he? No, he sent the quail when the Sabbath had ended. So they could immediately go out and get the quail, and in about less than a minute, you can lop off its head, and you can clean out the innards, and you can skin it out, and you can have it on the fire that you had going during the Sabbath, because you're not to kindle a fire on the Sabbath, so they had to have it continuously burning. They started roasting them, right? All right, let's read it. Now at sunset, a horde of quail came up and covered the camp. At daybreak, there was a layer of dew around the camp. Now notice the difference. The quail came onto the camp. The manna came outside the camp because they were to go out. That was their work. Go out and gather manna. And this is what they did for 40 long years. They did not eat any grain bread during the time that they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Let's go on. And you can read in Joshua 5 that after they had the wave sheaf offering, the manna stopped. All right? And at daybreak, there was a layer of dew around the camp, and when the layer of dew went up here upon the surface of the wilderness, something fine, it was kind of like frost, fine and scaly, fine as hoarfrost upon the land. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said each man to his brother, manho, that means, what is this? For they did not know what it was, and Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord gives you for eating. This is the word that the Lord has commanded. Now notice the command. Now we're going to go through the whole thing here, so that we understand what actually happened. Because what happened is right around the events that took place immediately after the Sabbath. Okay? Verse 16. This is the word that the Lord has commanded. Glean from it, that is, the manna, each man according to what he can eat in omer per capita, according to the number of your persons, each man for those in his tent you are to take. The children of Israel did thus. They gleaned, the one more and the one less. Some took more because there were more people. Some took less because there were less people. But when they measured by the omer, no surplus had the one more or the one less had no shortage. Each man had gleaned according to what he could eat. Moses said to them, now listen carefully. No man shall leave any of it until morning, bokur, daybreak. But they did not hearken to Moses, and several men left some of it until morning, and it became wormy with maggots and reeked. And Moses became furious at them. They gleaned it in the morning, every morning, each man in accordance with what he could eat. But when the sun heated up, it melted. Now it was on the sixth day, okay? First day in the morning, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now here we're at the preparation for the next Sabbath day. So you see, we've got a whole week involved here, correct? And we've seen very clearly, Ba'erev ends the day. Bain Harbin between the two evening begins the next day. All right? Verse 22. Now it was on the sixth day that they gleaned a double portion, two omers for each one. All the exalted leaders of the community came and told it to Moses, and he said to them, "It is what the Lord has spoken about. Tomorrow is a Sabbath, ceasing, a Sabbath of holiness for the Lord. Whatever you wish to bake, bake, and whatever you wish to boil, boil, and all the surplus put aside for yourselves in safekeeping until morning." And they put it aside until morning, as Moses has commanded, and it did not reek, neither were there any maggots in it. Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath for the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. For 6 days you are to glean, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath. There will not be any of it. But on the seventh day," that some of the people, "but it was on the seventh day that some of the people went out to glean, and they did not find any." What do you know about that? God said, "You won't find it." So they went out to look for it, and it wasn't there. See? Lord said to Moses, now notice verse 28, "Until when will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions?" You see that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives bread for 2 days. Stay each man in his spot. No man shall go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people ceased on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. It is like coriander seed, whitish, and its taste is like that of a wafer with honey. Moses said, now, look at that. Here's the miracle. Number one, if they gathered the manna and they gathered and kept it over and didn't eat it by morning, boom, it stank and it was full of maggots. That's one miracle. The next miracle is there would be no manna on the Sabbath. You get the point? You're not to work on the Sabbath. God did not work on the Sabbath. God did not send the manna on the Sabbath, did he? No, he wanted them to keep the Sabbath, correct? Then, that was the second miracle. The third miracle was that when they kept it over, it didn't breed worms and stink when they gathered it on the sixth day and kept it for the Sabbath. Now, here's the fourth miracle that took place. Let's pick it up here, okay? Let's continue, verse 32. Moses said, "This is the word that the Lord has commanded, an omer of it for safekeeping throughout your generations, in order that you may see the bread that you, the bread that I had you eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." Now here comes the fourth miracle. Moses said to Aaron, "Take a vat and put a homer of the manna in it and put it aside in the presence of the Lord," that is right there next to the things of God, because they hadn't yet built the tabernacle, they hadn't yet built the Holy of Holies, okay, "put it aside in the presence of the Lord in safekeeping throughout your generations." And what happened when they finished the tabernacle, when they finished the Ark of the Covenant, they put inside of it the omer of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the Ten Commandments that God had written with his own finger inside the Ark of the Covenant. Alongside the Ark of the Covenant, in special sleeves, the scrolls of the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy were placed there. All right? Let's go on. "And the children of Israel ate the manna for 40 years until they came in to a settled land. And the manna they ate until they came to the edge of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth of an ephah." There is the whole chapter of chapter 16. Question. Is it a figment of my imagination or your imagination that Ba'erev comes before Bein Ha'arba'im and that Bein Ha'arba'im immediately follows Ba'erev, right here in chapter 16. It defines both of them for us. By who? By the leading scriptural Hebrew expert, Everett Fuck. So therefore, I did not make this up in my own mind. I did not arbitrarily, in writing the book, The Christian Passover, give definitions to words. Now, you need to write for the Passover book, and you need to read the Passover book, and you need to read the book on Judaism. Those are very important for you to do and know and understand. And furthermore, you need to take another step further with it. You need to know it so you will never, never, never be deceived by anyone or anyone. No, I would like you to compare the size of this paper to the thoroughness of the book and everything that is in it concerning the Christian Passover. Now then, I also challenge anyone, anywhere, to find where there is error in this book. And if there is, we'll make it right. Because I do not want to fall into the same pattern as too many people do, that they want to follow the way of men. They want to accept the lies and traditions of men rather than the Word of God. What is it that any of us want to retain that we are not willing to give up for God? What lie do we want to cling to and not repent of when we find it? None. I've been very meticulous in the study, improving, and writing of the Christian Passover book. We have covered everything Old Testament and New Testament. We cover all of the difficult scriptures, and especially Deuteronomy 16. And Deuteronomy 16 is not changing it from a domestic Passover to a temple Passover. I've already given some sermons on that. Now then, whenever you do any study, follow the 14 rules of Bible study. I always do. I didn't write those out of the figment of my imagination. Those are working rules based upon Scripture. And how do you search out truth in a world full of deceit? So, brethren, if anything like this comes along, and someone sends you a paper like this, says, oh, well, that's a frontal attack on what Fred Coulter has written, and you don't take the time to refute it yourself, then, you know, you need to ask yourself the question, how deeply do I really, really believe? Because, you see, ultimately, we're going to have to be faithful to the end, or we're going to have to give our lives in martyrdom for the truth. And that's where we're headed in this world. And you can see it coming more and more every day. So don't let anyone send you a little flimsy paper and think that they are disproving the things that are true by comparing truth with the traditions and writings of men. So I hope this helps you understand where I'm coming from as a minister and person, where you need to come from, where we all need to come to, and that is to God. So I hope this has been helpful to you. And by all means, read the book, The Christian Passover, and Judaism, A Revelation of Moses or A Religion of Men. Both will astonish you. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.